Open your pew Bible this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 16, and then also the book of James. If you're here Thanksgiving Day, I talked about gratitude and being thankful and what that looked like in our lives. And then I also mentioned that this morning we're going to talk about what ingratitude looks like and specifically how that can affect your spiritual life and how that can either pull you away from God or draw you closer and what that effect is in our lives. And so ingratitude is kind of where we're going to focus this morning. And notice the message, gratitude's nemesis, the grumble. All right? How many people do you know that are grumpy, that grumble once in a while? And some you might know more than others. And some of you are chuckling away up here already. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And so we're going to dig into that. So what does God have to say about that in our lives today? So let's begin at Exodus 16. Now, the Israelites have fled Egypt. So Moses has led them out, and they've entered into the desert. And they're not satisfied with what's going on in their lives. They're used to the Egyptians giving them plenty of food and water, and they were sitting around their fires, and they were fed well. And now they find themselves a little hungry. Now, watch what happens with their attitudes through this. So beginning at verse 1, chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." Turn with me to the book of James, way in the back of the New Testament. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read just a couple verses there, 1 and 2, or 2 through 4, excuse me, and then also 19 through 22. Now consider, I'm going to flip the script just a little bit here this morning, and notice how we should react in times of trials, hardships, difficulties, those things that come into our life. This is what James tells us to do. So I just told you a story about grumbling. Now hear how we should act, okay? "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then verses 19 through 22 says, "Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." The reading of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning you bless these words unto your people by the work of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move about this congregation and those that are listening online this morning as they hear this word. Lord, may they take it to their hearts. May they use it in a way that will change the way they live their lives. Lord, I pray, too, that you fill me with the same Holy Spirit and that these words are your words and never mine. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I got a movie I want to describe to you this morning, and you'll get it. And if you don't, maybe you're just too young yet, but you'll understand what I'm talking about. So there's this series back in the early 90s that came out, and I'm going to describe some of the descriptive words that help describe what this movie was like, and then you tell me a response. Now, if you know it, just hold on till kind of we get through it, and then you can answer together, okay? So here's the descriptive words: complaining, negativity, intolerance, uncompromising, griping, fussing, and grumpiness. Can anybody tell me the two movies that were in a series that would describe what I just told you? Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah, what's the second one? Grumpy, you got it. I even got a picture for you here this morning that you would know exactly what I was talking about. Now, isn't that amazing that you would know those things? Now, this is kind of a humorous film that had a lot of things going on in it, and they got by with it. They did a good job telling the story. Now, I want to give you another scenario, and I want you to tell me what you would think of this. I want you to think about that person in your life that's grumpy, that's intolerant, that's uncompromising. How would you like to hang out with that person? Or maybe this question: do you want to even be around people like that? No, I don't want to be around people that act like grumpy old men, right? I don't think any of you do either. And so that's the point I want to make with you this morning. What kind of a lifestyle are you living? Do you grumble once in a while? Do you complain about certain things? And so I want to kind of go there this morning in our faith journey. Studies have shown that few things are more detrimental to your health than a bad or poor attitude. Because if it brings you down, it brings others down. It can affect your attitude. It can also affect your health in many different ways. Your physical health, your emotional health, all those things get affected by the way that you choose to look at life. And this grumpiness, this grumbling can affect you in great ways. And it can specifically affect your faith walk. I want you to see that this morning, and that's where I want to go today. And so let's get into the definition today of this. So we can actually develop a gratitude or an attitude of ingratitude in our lives. And so here's what ingratitude means. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says the failure or refusal to acknowledge something good from another person, or a poor return of kindness. Now, how many of you're in the business world and you look at returns and stuff like that? You're used to, if you have a poor return on an investment, what do you do with it? You get rid of it, right? Now, I'm not telling you to get rid of whoever's grumpier in your life today, but you need to pray for God to change their hearts, all right? And don't expect to change them, by the way, because that's who they are. They need to change themselves. Maybe this message will resonate with you this morning that, hey, I need to figure out how I'm living life here today. So ingratitude is a choice not to recognize good or kindness in your life. It is a choice. Hear that this morning, that the way that we approach things, the way we do things. And the Bible is full of stories of ingratitude. I can find all kinds of them for you this morning. So the first one I'll mention, Cain and Abel. You guys know that story, right? Cain was not happy with the way things were going. He had an ungrateful spirit, an ungrateful heart, and then when he brought his offering to God, it wasn't accepted because his heart wasn't in the right place. Of course, he gets upset, he gets angry, he gets mad, and he decides to do what? Killed his brother. It leads to sin. Ungratefulness can lead to sin in our lives. Now, let me give you another biblical story that you know so well. How many of you recognize the name King David from Scriptures? Had it all, right? Had a beautiful wife, had the blessings of God, was ruling the nation of Israel, and one day his eyes got a little, unsatisfied with his wife, and he began to venture somewhere else to another wife, which caused him to sin and to cause all kinds of things in his family that brought upon him in his life. Another one that became maybe grumpy, discontent, not satisfied with life. and how it led him away from the Lord. So let me just remind you of your focus this morning. What are you focusing on in your life? When you come to different situations that you come across, does it draw you away or does it draw you closer to the Lord in your walk? Challenges, trials, like James talks about to us here, how we should respond to those types of things when they come at us in life. And you're going to get them. I've been preaching to you for a long time about the storms we just came through. They are a normal part of life. Expect those things to occur. And the way that you handle them in your attitude is what God is concerned about. And the way that you decide to live your life. So let's talk about these people in Exodus 16 here this morning. The Israelites. They fell into this attitude of ingratitude in Exodus 16. So for 45 days they've been traveling. Israel's resources, they run a little dry. They ran out of beef jerky and maybe a trail mix, whatever it was that they had with them, and they're getting a little hungry. And their bellies began to rumble, and guess what it did with their attitude? They began to grumble to Moses and Aaron. They overcome by their fear of hunger. Israel's focus shifted from the Lord's provision to what they could have been or could have had in Egypt. How often does that happen in your life where your provision God is providing for you and you're not quite satisfied with what's going on in your life and all of a sudden it shifts to something else that maybe the world can offer you? Notice how quickly that shifted. 45 days they left Egypt and all of a sudden they decide, you know what, I don't know if I want to follow this God anymore because I'm just a little bit hungry in their lives. And they go to the worldly things. So the Lord, being gentle with this spiritual infants, I'll call them, because they had a lot of spiritually growing up to do yet. They were very immature in their faith walk. God hears their grumble, and he responds in their time of need this morning. And he sends them quail from the sky, and he gives them manna from the ground. But Moses, he takes this moment, and he says, you know, people, we got a little bit of an issue here. There's some problems that are going on. And he warns Israel, hey, this attitude that you have, this complaining amongst yourselves, this underlying murmur that you keep hear, these whispers that are going on behind the scenes that Moses and Aaron, they could hear. And he said, you know what? That's not against Moses and me and Aaron. You're not angry at us. You need to realize that. We're not your provider. And Moses says, you need to realize you're complaining to the God Almighty for what you have. And he wants them to be careful. And he asked them a question. So who are we? Are we the people of God or are we not? Right? And I can ask you the same question. Are we the people that would grumble against the Lord's provision when he provides into your lives? And I'm going to get into that question a little bit deeper here in just a moment of what does that look like as far as when it comes to provision in your life? What does that mean? Because every one of us is different. But here's what I want you to know. This is the reality of the world that we live in here today. We become what we behold. James 1 verse 20 says it pretty clear. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Right? When you get grumpy and you get dissatisfied, when you get angry and you're upset or you don't like what's going on, what that says is that does not produce the righteousness of God in your heart or in your life. And the word righteous means that you live in the right way according to the word of God. That you follow his instruction for your life. And when grumpiness enters and we get this attitude of ingratitude, those things start to leave us. And we become distant from God in our lives. And so we have to be careful. Because if we behold anger, if we grab onto it and we let it control our lives, guess what? You become an angry person. And people love to be around you. By the way, that was a joke. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I live it every day, right? Yeah. If you become envious of other things in your life that you don't have, you become what? Jealous. You want. See, discontent comes in into your heart. If you harbor frustration, you become a quarrelsome person that easily flies off the handle. Maybe you find yourself in a lot of arguments. Moses knew that if the people beheld grumbling, they'd become a people far from the heart of God. And Israel, they had all kinds of issues throughout their journey with God. They were close to God. They were far from God. You just read the Old Testament. It's full of it. We're no different in our lives as well. But the early church leader in James, he understood this well, and he spoke in this letter to the early church. When he looked at his congregation, he found his people were believers, but yet they're developing all these sinful postures that was pushing them away from the Lord. Their attitudes were terrible. And so he urged them, just as Moses did with the Israelites, guard yourselves, he said to them. And if you have your Bible open, I read to you the verses out of James chapter 1, verse 2 or 3. Now, I want you to frame this. I'm going to read this to you here a moment. But I want you to think in your life of maybe a struggle that you're going through, or maybe you've come through, or that you're just entering in your life. I mean, it can be a hard one. Somebody's just died in my family. It can be that. Or maybe it's something that I've got a diagnosis that I don't like, and I don't care for it. And here's what James says as a believer in Christ. Now, this is difficult because this is real. Count it all joy. That's what he says. How do you feel about that this morning? When I talk about the difficult things in life that you're going to go through or you're going through, and God says, I'm supposed to count it all joy? It hurts. It's hard. It's difficult. I'm angry. I don't like it. And then he says, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or perseverance. It produces strength to get you through whatever you're going through, because you draw closer to God. You rely upon God and His goodness and His faithfulness and His spiritual healing, whether it's upon this earth or whether it's heavenly healing. We trust God. That's what your faith is. If you didn't have that, why would you even be here this morning? You're in pursuit of the Almighty. And then I love how this verse ends. That when he puts you through all these kinds of trials and these hardships in life, here's the goal. That ye may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing when you take your last breath. As you enter into his presence. See, that's what it's about. Be careful you don't grumble against what the good Lord is doing in your life. Now, you don't have to like it. I'm not telling you have to like it. But God says, be careful of your attitude. Just take a moment and examine your life. If this is you and I, do something about it. Pray for God to change your heart and to give you an attitude of gratitude in all situations. That's what he wants you to acknowledge him in your life. I want to define this word just a little bit bigger this morning. What is grumbling? Let's kind of look at that from a biblical perspective. I think some of you have a good handle on it. You lived life long enough and you might have experienced it or know people. But let's look at what God's position is and for us to understand in our lives what grumbling looks like. So we're going to look at these Israelite people again just a little bit. So given how long Israel remained in the desert, consider the number of stories that you never heard. Okay, so dream with me just a little bit here this morning, okay? Now, Moses and Aaron, they're leading these people for 45 days. They're a little light on food. They can't find water. People are starting to get a little grumpy. Their attitude's getting affected. They're getting a little tired, right? How many of you ever had somebody that's hangry before? Right? You ever experienced somebody that's hangry? Whew! Yeah, you feed them a little bit. It's like they're a different person. It's like that Snickers commercial, right? They change totally to a different person, right? So the Israelites, they're getting hangry. They need some Snickers in their lives. And so that's what it's looking like. So get this picture of this grumpiness now as we learn about this. So Moses, if you read on into Exodus 17, Moses is like, I am sick of this. I can't keep up with all these people's problems. All they do is complain all day. We need more Snickers. And what does he do? He goes to God. His father-in-law Jethro comes to him and goes, Moses, you need some help. And they establish some elders, and they start putting up complaint dust. And people start to come to the elders because, you know, Moses is leading the people, and he's got other things he needs to do, and the people are so grumpy. If we could write down all the stories that maybe they heard, we'd have a whole other book that we talk about being grumpiness of the Israelites. Right? We don't have enough toilet paper. Come on, Moses, where's it all at? Right? I'm sure Moses had tons of stories to tell. But he deliberately chose to leave them out. But we do have a few stories, don't we? And he highlights the grumbling nature of the Israelites. So Moses understood that if this attitude persists, it's going to destroy the people of God. He knew it. So did James. They knew it. So what precisely is grumbling? This is where I'm going to bring this home here this morning. Why is complaining so detrimental to our faith? Right? Because grumbling is the exact opposite of gratitude. And here's where it's going to hit you pretty hard. To grumble and complain is to reject the grace of God in your life. Right? I want you to think about the grace that you've been given in your life. Now, we've been talking a lot about thankfulness this past week with Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. But when you start to complain, what you're saying is this, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God, what you're giving me isn't enough. God, what you're giving me, I don't care for. How many of you are parents in here? Yeah, you have children, right? How do you feel when a child comes to you and says, Mom, I don't like this Christmas gift. Dad, this is the worst birthday present you've ever given me. How do you feel about that? How do you think God feels about it when you complain about the grace that he's given to you in your life? When you start to complain about things. Oh, I wish I had a nicer car. Boy, I wish I got paid more at work. Right? The Israelites are no different. Hold on to that thought for just a moment. Because I have a deeper answer we're going to go into in just a moment to drive it home even more. But here's what grumbling looks like in your life. I'll call these, for the sake of this morning, small sins, okay? Not a big sin. A big sin, you know, they're all the same in God's eyes, I get that, but it's different than thou shalt not kill, correct? Right? Thou shalt not murder. Right? Here's what I call small sins in your life when it comes to grumpiness. Discontentment, fussiness, gossip, being negative, having intolerance, being impatient, uncompromising, unyielding mindset, like, nope, this is not how we're going to do it, this is how it's going to be done, right? All those types of things. Behaviors, negative ones in your life. You see, this grumbling and complaining, it undermines the grace of God, and it starts to poison your heart right here as a person. It has the power to pull the strongest of believers far, far away from God. And they might even lose their faith. You see, grumbling gives us, we think, a free pass, and it shifts our focus from faith in God's provision to the problems in your life. And pretty soon that's all you focus on is the problems that you're dealing with, and God's not good enough, and God's not doing anything about it, and I just don't like the way I live in my life, and all it gets affected. Let me just talk to you about Israel again for a moment. Israel, they actually said this. Now, you know the story. I told it to you. I read it to you this morning. We'd be better off in slavery and having food than in the middle of this desert where we're going to die. Where they had freedom to worship their God. Now, when you look at the story, right, would you rather be in slavery and have food, or would you rather be free and a little bit hungry? Let me give you a poll. Give me a poll of hands today. How many of you love to be in slavery and you're fed well? Right? Nobody would like that. Now, how many of you would love to be free and just maybe hungry once in a while? Yeah. So here's my point this morning. You're going to get this. Is that when we see the story from the outside in and we read it, we think, how stupid of a people are they? Why don't they get it in their lives? When we read the story and we see that, you mean you'd rather be under Egyptian rule, making bricks all day and eating tacos versus being out in the wilderness and having some prime rib with your Lord in heaven? Yeah, that's what we'd like. You'd be like, what? So I want you to think about your life this morning and the way that you live it. Would people say the same thing about you? If he just realized, or if she just knew what she had or what he had, and yet they're discontent, denying God's grace. Did you know that the form of ingratitude in your life, when you begin to live it that way, did you know that that is actually living life backwards? Don't live life backwards. It's not how God designed you to be. That's the work of Satan, living life backwards. So now let me ask you this question. Oh, how do I know? How do I know that I'm living life backwards? And so we're going to talk about that this morning. We know we live in a place of backward living and backward thinking when we get stuck in the why. When you start asking why questions, now there's nothing wrong with asking why questions, but sometimes we get stuck there. And let me explain this to you. And I'm not talking about those hard questions in life that we don't understand. God, what are you doing when you take the life of a child? See, why, right? And those are a little different than what I'm talking about here this morning. But grumbling rejects gratitude and asks why. So if you start asking why, you might have an attitude of ingratitude that you need to be aware of. And here's some questions I want to run past you this morning. The why me or why not me? The why is what I want you to be aware of. And here's what our thoughts do. When we start asking why in our lives, why isn't it enough? This is not what I wanted. This is not how things are supposed to be. This is not what I expected in my life. There has to be something better out there. Why me? Why can't I have what they have? I don't want manna. The sweet cakes in the desert. I want something better. I want donuts and cinnamon rolls and pastries with sprinkles on top. Right? Yeah. I'm tired of quail. I want to eat ribeye. I want something better. Why me? Why can't I have those things? So do you find yourself stuck in the why? Are you discontent in your soul, in your spirit? Why do you grumble? Am I complaining a lot? Do I look at my life and I say, this is not enough for me? Or are you living in this kind of a state? I want, I wish, I had, I miss. Right? Do you look at others' lives? And you might think these things. I wish I had their experience, or their possessions, or their spouse, or their children, or their house, or their job, or their friends in your life. And if you can start to answer yes to some of these things, the Bible actually refers to that as a spirit of ingratitude, that you reject the grace of God in your life and His provision. Now let me end on a good note with you. I don't want to send you out of here thinking, man, this has been a tough one today. All right? Grace. God's grace in our lives comes in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on that I just talked to you about this morning. God's grace surpasses the grumble, okay? It goes beyond that this morning. We've seen it to the Israelites because you could have said, you know what, people? I am sick of the way you're complaining. I'm not giving you anything. But God hears their grumble and He answers that grumble to them and He satisfies them in many ways. So I want you to know that you serve a gracious God. He forgives. And here's the point I want to make with you this morning, that if you find yourself in a complaining, a mentality, that your attitude is poor about something, I want you to pray that God will change your heart, and you can do it right now today because that's how grace works. You can choose how to live differently the moment you walk out of that back door this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ and the way that you speak and act and the things you do. Gone by the grace of God. You can receive it. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. You have a choice. You have the freedom to do that in your life. So what are you going to choose? What are you going to do with it? Accept God's grace. Choose gratitude. Live a thankful life no matter where you find yourself. That's what I want you to do as not only me as a pastor preaching to you today, but that's what the Bible teaches us. That's what God wants you and how He wants you to live. And you live that way, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to find joy. You're going to find great joy in your heart. Especially for all the stuff that's going on today in our world. You can rise above through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may You speak to our hearts today just in a new way. We look at the Israelites and we look how James said, Lord, it's good that it produces perseverance, gives us strength in not only our spirits but in our faith journey. May we see it in a different way today as Your hand works in our lives in many different ways and at many different times. In our lives. Lord, help us to not compare. Lord, the sin of comparison could just kill us. Help us not to go there in our lives. May we be content people with what You provide for us. Lord, may You give our hearts peace today. May You give us the ability to examine our lives and to know, Lord, when we have that ingratitude that comes out from time to time. Lord, may You just speak to us throughout this week as we contemplate this message today of how we're to live this life as believers in Jesus Christ. You call us to be different in the world, and may we do that. In Jesus I pray, Amen.